grace and peace from our Father in heaven, His Son Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. It's good for people to gather together. Sometimes we give thanks to God by ourselves, and it's good. Sometimes when we're in danger, we fold our hands and bow our heads, and we pray to Him. And that's good. And it's really uplifting when people of the same faith who believe in God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit get together. They sing praises to Him. They make petitions to Him because He's the only one that can answer and the only one that can bring hope. And that comes through hearing the Word of God over and over. Every time we read God's Word, we find something in it that wasn't there. At least we say to ourselves, hey, how did I miss this? Seems like it's speaking to me. Well, today I'm going to be like one of the movie stars who said, come here, pilgrims, let's go. John Wayne, he called people pilgrims. And you are today my pilgrims. I'm going to take you to Philippi, Adbar the Great. You know, it's one of the Roman provinces. It's St. Paul making his missionary journeys. He went to the Philippians, Philippi. When he got there, he didn't know where to go. I have a message for the people here. Where can they be? Usually when he went to a synagogue, a church of the Jewish faith. And there he would talk to them, and pretty soon they would turn him off because they didn't want to hear that the Messiah had come, that the Messiah had died on the cross, and that their God had answered their prayers. They wanted a champion, someone who could lead them against the Romans, and once again Israel would rise up as it did at the day of David. So they didn't like him. They didn't like his message. So he went out, and he was looking for a place, and went up by the seashore, and there he met a group of ladies who were either washing their clothes or just had a meeting together. And he caught their attention, and he started preaching to them. The Lord, the Savior of the world, has come. He has forgiven your sins, and because if you believe, you'll go to heaven. Real simple message. Because he had been sent by God himself, by Jesus. I want you to go out to those Gentiles, those people who are not Jews. They haven't heard that God loves them so much that he died also for them. So when he was finished, there comes the lady. He says, Paul, my name is Lydia. She was pretty well dressed and everything. You could tell that she was a high class person. I want to be baptized. I want my children to be baptized. She believed the message. She knew that here he had the message of messages above all, that a Savior had come to save the world. And as he was baptizing them, when the ritual was over, she asked, where are you and your company? He had other people with him. He had Timothy. He had Silas, he had Epaphras. And he said, oh, we're looking for a place. Well, why don't you stay in my house? And I won't take no for an answer. Well, what could you say? So Pastor Paul took that place there and the other people with him. And from there they went out and did ministry to the other people. And she felt so content. She felt so satisfied that she was doing something because she had received a message that nobody else had brought to her. And she wanted that message to be shared among her people. She was content. And that's the message for this morning. How to be content. How to be content. There was the other one, the person I just mentioned, Epaphras. He was a helper of St. Paul. He must have been a person in that area because he knew where to take him, where people gathered, that he would take the message. He would help him do the work of the Lord. You know, there are other ways. You don't have to be a preacher. You can be a helper. This Wednesday, I came home, not Wednesday, Tuesday, I walked in here and I heard that the children had chapel on Wednesday. So I looked over that. That's why the communion word wasn't there. And then today I start worrying. Maybe they forgot. But no, there it is. We have somebody who does that. Every time we have communion, it's all set for us. You know, things like that. The lights, the recordings, something that the Word of God can be reached out, can help. You know, we make CD records, we send them out, we mail them, we take them to homes, and if you know of anybody who wants copies of them, we can get them to you. And this man, Epaphroditus, he was happy to do this. But then he got sick. He got so sick, they thought he was going to die. But what do we do when we get sick? We pray. And that's what the people that loved him, that cared for him, that prayed for him. And he got better. As soon as he left the bed, he went back as being the helper for St. Paul. And St. Paul writes about him. Oh, this guy is a good helper. Every time I need him, there he is. I need somebody to do this, there he is. You know, thank you. And he brought me a gift. He brought me a gift. You know what that gift was? It was a gift from the congregation. He had a congregation. All of a sudden, a bunch of people start filling up an area. He had his own congregation from Philippi. And this letter that we just read is to the Philippians. He's telling them, why don't you copy me? Look at me. And really, people look at us. And sometimes we hear, if that's a Christian, forget about me going to your church. And then there's the other side. If that's a Christian, and you should see what they're doing. You should see this. People that are children of God, share, tell, help. And sometimes we don't think anyone's watching us, but, you know, when you get in your car on Sunday morning and drive off, your neighbors know where you're going. And sometimes when they're in trouble, they come to you because they think that you are closer to God. Perhaps you are, because you can talk to Him. You can listen to Him. You can pray to Him. You can tell Him that you love Him and that you give your life, that He gave His life. But he says to you, no, I'll give you eternal life. All those that believe in Jesus Christ have eternal life. Well, here's another one. The congregation in Philippi were growing and growing. They had a rough time. Then they heard that in Jerusalem, the Christians in Jerusalem were being persecuted. The Christians in Jerusalem were going through a drought. The food prices were going up. And the Christians in Jerusalem were suffering. And what do? They take a donation in church. And Epaphroditus is going that way, say, hey. And Paul hears about this. Say, hey, you need it here. Look at your... No, this is for our love to those Christians up in Jerusalem. They need our help. Take it to them. And Paul was surprised. Here is the fruit of a Christian sharing it further away. They don't know them. But you know, we do that here. New Orleans, those places that we hear, tornadoes, floods. Even here in Texas, Harvey had a lot of people involved in helping others. Our church was involved. Our Texas district was involved. Our Missouri Synod was involved, and still we're still helping out there. And that is true. That is true. But you know, another thing, St. Paul, as he was preaching, he was interrupted at the end, and they gave him a bag of money. He says, what's this for? It's for you. Why? Because of what you're doing. You need help. And here, this is the first congregation that paid off a minister because of his work. And he was surprised because, you know, he was a tent maker. And every time he'd go start a congregation, he'd go out and make tents or make a living off of building tents or making tents. That was his big profession. But he gave it up to preach the gospel and hear this congregation. They were in need. They were not a rich congregation, but they helped out. And, you know, they were happy about it. When they did it, hey, you could see the smiles on their faces, you know. And that's to say, you know, whenever we do something, we don't say a pat in the back. Excuse me, that's not that kind of noise either. No. The Lord sees what we do. You know, when we line up on the last day, when I was sick, you visited me. When I was in need, you helped me. When I was in prison, when I needed water, when I needed clothes, you know. We have all those opportunities as Christians to help others and each other. You know, a lot of times when I go to the hospital and visiting a sick person, the patient next to the one I went to visit, will you pray for me? Sure. Sure. As I'm going out, so they see my collar. Pastor, my mother's sick in here. Would you come in here and pray for her? Sure. Yes. Yes. What an opportunity that they hear about our God who cares, our God who gives us everything we have. But here's the last one. Here's the last one. Paul and Silas, they're in Philippi. They're preaching the word of God. And then there are a bunch of Jews back there who are jealous because he's getting a bigger congregation than the one they have. And they make a riot, a big mob. And then the officials from the city come, what's wrong, what's wrong? These men, they're talking this and they're changing our way of living and this and this. And right away, they do something about it. Do it now. So they take them to the market square. They tie them in a pole. They start whipping them. And after a while, they say, okay, put them in jail. They go to the jailer, tell the jailer, put these men down. The last cell down there. Okay. Tomorrow morning, we'll put them on trial. What a way, huh? They got punished before they were put in trial. The Lord's always watching out for his helpers, for his people. The Lord always cares for his people. That night, at midnight, there was an earthquake. An earthquake on the place where they were, the jailhouse. Jailhouse rocked. Remember that song? That place rocked. It rocked so hard that the jail doors just opened. The jailer fell out of bed and he got up and looked, and all the doors were wide open. Oh, Lord, you know, all my prisoners are gone. I'm going to get it. Oh, what a way to die. He was ready to kill himself. He didn't want to suffer. And Paul says, wait, hold it, hold it. We're all here. We're all here. Because during the time that Paul was in prison, he and Silas were praying, were singing, and preaching to those. What a captive audience right there. Boy. And they listened. These prisoners were waiting to see what would Paul do. He was a prisoner. What's he going to do? He stayed there, and they stayed there. And the jailer, so thankful, he said, what can I do to be saved? He heard the message. What can I do to be saved? And Jesus said these simple words. And Paul said these simple words. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. The jailer was so happy. He took him home because he wanted his family to hear about it. He wanted his family to be baptized. He was courageous, you know. He was ready to die because the prisoner had escaped. But now he's not afraid. He takes Paul and Silas. He works on their backs. Then he says, baptize my children and tell them the story you told me about Jesus. What a wonderful and beautiful story. So Lydia was content for what she did. Epaphras was content what he was doing. The congregation in Philippi was content because they did something wonderful. Paul uses this phrase, rejoice in the Lord always. And then he said, again, rejoice in the Lord always. In the book of Philippians, 18 times he said, rejoice in, no, 8 times, sorry, 8 times. Rejoice in the Lord always. And you and I should always be rejoicing. Because you have been chosen by God himself. You are my people. You are my special people. You are my people who profess to be or tell people. But I want you to tell others. Look how sad it is this evening. Only a handful of people. Only a handful of people. Maybe they forgot that we celebrate Christmas. Not Christmas. Thanksgiving. On Thanksgiving Eve, not Thanksgiving Day. Thanksgiving Day. Well, let's go back. Let's go back from Ephesus, from Philippi, back to our United States. Let's go back to our United States. Do you think we're satisfied? I don't think so. I don't think so. We have a lot of freedoms here. Lots of freedoms. We have a lot of comforts here. Lots of comforts. We have visited other countries out of the United States. We have taken sea cruises out and visited other nations far away. We have air conditioning, heating, central heating. We see two cars in the driveway. But if you open the garage, there's two more in the garage. So we don't just have two, we have four cars. You think we're content? You think we're satisfied? No, we want more. My car is only 2002. I'd like to have a 2019. How much money do you have in the bank? Oh, wow. How many times do you work? How many people work in your house? How much money do you have? So we make a pile of things that we have. And then we guard it. We guard it. Got to watch where my money goes. Got to watch what I do with it. And you notice the word my money, my work, my. But don't we belong to God the Father? When he sent his son to die on the cross, why did he die on the cross? So that we may be saved, so that we can be called children of God. And yet we're not content. So what's the secret of contentment? What is what these people did that made them feel content? Here's Paul. I know how to be brought down low. I know how to up in anything and in every place. I have learned the secret of facing hunger, plenty, abundance. I can do all things who strengthens me. God is with you. God will help you. You know, there are times that, think of those people who had their home flooded. Some of them can't move in anymore. Because they can't live in those conditions. And they're living in other apartments or hotels. How long will it be? You know, I myself, I think about it, could I withhold as much as they do? You know. So that's something to be thankful for. You know, that God has blessed us so much. You know. And he does it today, tomorrow, every day. So tomorrow, as you sit at the table, remind those around you the secret of being content is being a child of God. And that only comes through hearing his word over and over. This coming Sunday is called the last Sunday of the church year. And you probably heard last Sunday of the talents. Use your gifts to serve the Lord. Because when He comes, you'll be ready. You'll be ready. So be content now. So that when He comes, you rush out and wait for Him. And not hide because you have not been a faithful servant. Let's close with a prayer. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we forget because we see our neighbors, we see our friends, we seem to say to ourselves, look how they're enjoying themselves. Wow, look what they're doing. And yet, we forget and follow the same routine. We get away from church. We get away from our friends. We start our own get buddies and friends. We forget the biggest offering was Jesus Himself. And it was Jesus that He still tells us, come to Me that are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. It's Jesus who says, I go to prepare a place for you. So be ready. In the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, help us to be ready and do the things that are God-pleasing. In His name we pray. Amen.